Today's text also concerns the exile. It comes from the prophet Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am bringing them forth from the land of the north and gathering them from the farthest parts of the earth, and among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. He who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd and a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Mount Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain and the wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young woman rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old men shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty. Thus says the Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Okay, so did that text really have to end with a sentence, I will give the priests their fill of fatness? Having just come through the Christmas season and 9 months of pandemic, I can tell you that this pastor has had his fill of fatness in the form of shortbread, spritz cookies, bourbon balls, and cinnamon bread. The pandemic has not been kind either to me or to my bathroom scale. But this text is not about any weight loss resolutions you or I may have made in this new year. It's about something else entirely. It's about abundance, joy, peace, prosperity. In short, it's about physical and societal salvation. You know, many Americans in our context see salvation as just something individual. I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. Well, as the great New Testament scholar Christer Stendahl, who was the dean of Harvard Divinity School and the bishop of Stockholm, said, individual salvation, it's peanuts. It's important to know that the prophet Jeremiah is writing in the context of the Babylonian exile from 597 to 538 BC, when the Babylonian Empire extended itself to include Judah, destroying the first temple and killing or carting off some of Jerusalem's best and brightest and keeping them in captivity for a generation. That's a very long time out. You probably know that lament that Tricia brought up from Psalm 137 that describes the exile. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Jeremiah, though, initially stayed in Jerusalem, though he was later exiled in Egypt. I would imagine that you and I both have a better feeling for what exile is like than we did last year at this time. For almost 10 months, we have been in a form of physical exile from one another as a worshiping community, albeit with small excursions into outdoor vespers and the sleep-out vigil and 3 or 4 drive-through experiences out in our parking lot. Thank God we're able to live stream. I don't know about you, but I long for the day when we will be back together in this sanctuary together, singing and praying and greeting and sharing communion. I have to tell you that my heart aches every time I think of you coming forward to receive communion. So imagine yourself for just a minute as one of those who has been taken away from the security and your home and loved ones and taken away from your place of worship. But 2,500 years ago, not in 2020. Take a moment and picture that in your mind's eye. And now imagine that another ruler has defeated the Babylonians and that you get to go home. Not everyone survived the years of exile. Things will surely have changed, and there is much to rebuild. But think of the sense of liberation after years of captivity. Imagine what that feels like. See, I am going to bring them back. A great throng will return here. With tears of joy they will come. While they pray, I will bring them back. I will lead them by quiet streams and on smooth paths, so they do not stumble. They will come shouting for joy on the hills of Zion, jubilant over the Lord's gifts, grain, wine, oil, flocks, and herds. Their lives shall be like a lush garden. They will grieve no more. Then the young women will dance for joy, the old and the young men will join in. I will turn their mourning into laughter, and their sadness into joy. I don't know how it is for you, but I am more than ready to receive some more good news. You know, the other day, the first time I wrote 2021, I got a bit of a thrill that 2020 is behind us. We will get to return from exile. When I saw the first Facebook photo of a friend of mine who is a chaplain serving in a hospital in New York City getting vaccinated, it gave me the chills. And this past week, when I saw pictures of Anne and Bill Thompson from Plymouth on Facebook being inoculated, it became even more real. We aren't going to be in exile forever. In another sense, some of us have felt as though we have been in exile for at least 4 years. Have you had the experience of turning on the news or opening the paper or looking on your iPad and sort of steeling yourself first thing in the morning, getting ready for the next outrage or the next big lie of the day? It has been an especially tough year for the most vulnerable in our nation. Real wages for most workers have hardly budged since the 1960s. Unemployment has been brutal during the pandemic. And those who thought that America was approaching a post-racial future have been shocked by a further spate of police killings of black men and women. Before the pandemic, 2.3 million folks lost their health insurance. And since COVID arrived on the scene, a further 15 million Americans have lost health insurance coverage. In the U.S., 350,000 people have died as a result of the virus this year. That's a hard number to imagine. And 20 million Americans have been infected. As a nation, we need salvation. We need physical rescue and recovery to return from exile. We need deliverance from the forces of ignorance, avarice, bigotry, self-centeredness, and lies. We need to be saved from a virus that has done the unthinkable to God's world. Here's the good news. It is within our ability as a people, as a nation, as a world to help make it happen. We need a change in political culture. A change that moves from cronyism and corruption and deceit toward character, honesty, and servant leadership. We need to revisit our assumptions about what constitutes basic American morals, ideals, and values. We need to reexamine the givens in American society. Institutional racism. A tax system built for the rich, corporate taxation that lets industry giants like Amazon pay no tax at all, health insurance that's based on where you work rather than on the fact that you are a human being with basic physical needs, that human-caused climate change is somebody else's problem to deal with. Morality has far less to do with what happens in the bedroom and more to do with what occurs in the boardroom and the halls of government. As I said, the good news is that we can help this to happen. We can continue to make our voices heard, not simply as good Democrats or Republicans or independents, but as people of faith. Our faith tradition has a lot to say about how we treat the widow, the orphan, the alien, the indebted living among us. It's not a coincidence that we say, "Forgive us our debts," in the Lord's Prayer. But our faith tradition says nothing positive about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. Part of our challenge this year is to come to grips with the places that we can be most effective as agents of change. And when we act on God's behalf, salvation can happen, not simply on an individual level, but on a societal level. When you read Jeremiah, you understand what kind of salvation that means. And it's the kind of salvation this nation needs. Today we're seeing glimmers of hope. We have an incoming government that is more interested in building international bridges than constructing physical walls, with a cabinet that looks more like America and less like me, with a commitment to work on climate change, to accelerate the delivery and distribution of COVID vaccines. And it isn't just the members of one party who give me hope. It's the people who stand on character and integrity on both sides of the aisle. I think most Americans want what you and I want. And not all of us agree on how to get there. But we have to relearn how to have civil discourse, not from a rigid, doctrinaire stance that considers any compromise a betrayal, but from a place of character and integrity and the common good. We must stop thinking so much about me and concentrate on we. Have you ever noticed that the Lord's Prayer is offered in the first person plural, not singular? It's time to come in from the cold. It's time to return from exile and captivity. It's time to work for and to embrace abundance, joy, peace, prosperity. In short, it's about physical and societal salvation. You know, one day this year, I will see you return from exile and walk through those doors at the back of this sanctuary. And I will dance with joy. I will offer you the bread and the cup, and I'll look into your eyes as I do. Our mourning will turn into laughter and our sadness into joy. So stay hopeful and keep the faith, dear friends. This will be a decisive year, and we all have a part to play in the rebuilding. Amen.